Trigger warning, wee ones, this episode contains some adult themes and strong language. Witches may seem to be just part of Halloween, but there's more to witches than you might expect from somewhere like Bonnie Scotland. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Catherine, Dawn's long-suffering friend.
And this is Scottish
Spooky
Murders. Just before we start our story today, we're going to play you a promotion of one of our podcast friends. We love their podcast, and we hope you will too.
Scotland's history is ghoulish, ghastly, and at times downright gruesome. Who wouldn't want to hear more about it?
If you're interested in learning more about Scotland's history, legends, and ghost stories, then the Generally Spooky podcast is for you.
My name is Ailey, researcher, storyteller, and believer in ghosts.
And my name is Kieran. I'm chief listener, provider of jokes, and Ailey's husband. And we are the co-hosts of the Generally Spooky podcast.
Join us as we discuss things like the Loch Ness Monster, the Mackenzie Poltergeist, the Battle of Culloden, and so much more.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. You can also find us for free on YouTube and over at our website, generallyspooky.com.
We'll see you there.
See you there.
Now for our story. No doubt everyone has heard about the Salem witch trials, but did you know that Scotland had its own witch trials? Gather around and let me tell you all about it. It was back in 1563 when the Scottish Witchcraft Act was passed. It declared that anyone who carried out or had knowledge of witchcraft, sorcery, or necromancy.
What is that?
It's when you commune with the dead.
Ah, right, okay. That would be us fucked then, wouldn't it?
You're always at your psychic, aren't
spooky
you?
Lady,
yeah, you're spooky lady. You're always at your spooky lady.
I'd be burnt at the stake.
Yeah, you would be. I know, it's not burnt at the stake. Wait till you see what they do to them.
Oh, great.
It's even worse than that. But not just if you're, you know, communing with the dead yourself or into witchcraft or sorcery, but anyone who aided in these would be executed as well.
So that would be you, because you aid me with my spooky lady.
I aid in a bit, you don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm.
I laugh at you a little bit too.
We're going straight down to hell.
This act essentially made witchcraft and consulting with witches or people's perception of those a capital crime. During the time of the Act, the Catholic Mary Queen of Scots ruled over Scotland and the Protestant Elizabeth I ruled over England. However, this would change with the Union of the Crowns in 1603, which unified the rule over Scotland and England under the Protestant King James VI of Scotland, who would also be known as King James I of England, but we'll talk about him later. The origin of the Scottish Witchcraft Act seemed to be from an increasingly Protestant influence in Scotland and Scottish law, containing what many thought to be an anti-Catholic subtext, with the attack on magical practices being focused on how Protestants perceived the religious practices of Catholics, and the Act also seemed to show signs of a clause that had been removed, which may have made the anti-Catholic message even more obvious.
So it's a bit like Harry Potter. With magic wands and stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going with that one. It's nothing like Harry Potter.
Okay, that's what I'm picturing. The castle and the wands and the magic.
Right, okay. Yeah. However, it is also possible the Act targeted those known as charmers, who were practitioners of a kind of folk magic and would travel around the country healing common ailments such as burns or toothache.
Is that where snake charmer comes from? You know, when they make the snake dance out of the basket? When they play the little flute thing? It's like a snake charmer. No?
I'm thinking how we could put that in. No, I'm thinking, so it's a charmer, but they were healing people. Is that the snake charmers didn't heal people? They would just be like,
Dancing, the dancing snake. Yeah, so I think it's two separate things.
You know how I said you could just say random things?
I am.
Yeah.
That's what comes to mind.
There were also a lot of changes going on that had occurred due to the Scottish Reformation, which had happened just a few years earlier in 1590, along with a similar Witchcraft Act in England the same year. However, this English Witchcraft Act seemed to be aimed at punishing those who were carrying out witchcraft rather than the Scottish Act, which seemed to be more focused on the condition or thought crime of being a witch. However, it would not be until 1590 when the first major witch trial took place after the Witchcraft Act became law in Scotland. So why, after almost 30 years of very little activity surrounding witches, was there suddenly a major trial being carried out, Catherine?
I'm not sure.
Would you like me to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it because they were doing it in secret?
No. It's a good guess, though.
Yeah, that's my only guess. Yeah.
No, it wasn't, actually. What it was this.
This.
Shortly before this time, King James VI of Scotland...
Is this the same King James as earlier? Right,
yes,
okay.
The same one.
The first of England.
Yes, he becomes the first of England, but he's at the moment he's the sixth of Scotland.
Right, okay.
Which is what I've said, who, you know, as mentioned, would a few years later become...
You know, I've got a memory of a goldfish.
So, yeah, a few years later, he's going to become King James I of England in 1603. Well, he'd been on a visit to Denmark to see his wife-to-be, Anne of Denmark, and he'd seen the witch trials taking place while he was there. So, it seems that a little seed was planted in his head.
I bet that was not the only thing that was planted while he was visiting his body.
No, Catherine.
Isn't this good that we're not live?
Okay, anyway, so a little seed was planted somewhere.
Nestled in an ovary.
Which in 1589, in his opinion, was to have good reason to carry on the tradition he witnessed there. So this idea grew. As following his visit to see his future bride in Denmark, it was arranged for her to travel to Scotland. However, during the crossing of the North Sea, the fleet she was part of had to turn back due to a dangerous storm raging.
I was just going to ask, how did they get over? Because there wouldn't have been, like, planes, would there?
No, it was boats.
Right, okay.
So it was the boats.
Like a pirate
the
ship.
The ships. Yes, yeah. Pirate ship. She was on a pirate ship. Yeah, perfect.
I've got some good imagination, image. Haven't I?
That's all I can see now.
I'm a hard piece.
So the fleet was hit by a dangerous storm and they had to turn back. But not to be deterred, King James set out for Denmark to collect his bride for himself. All was going well until on the way back to Scotland, the fleet were hit by another storm.
Not meant to be.
King James, at this point, firmly believed that these storms were the work of witches.
Ah, right, okay.
He thought they were casting spells and conjuring up the storms.
To stop him from going and get his leg over.
Yeah. She wasn't, well, no, because she wasn't, they were stopping her from coming to Scotland. That's what he thought.
Oh, right, okay.
His bride-to-be. He also firmly believed that a witch had actually sailed into the Firth of Forth on a sieve. On a sieve.
Like,
yes.
Like you would sieve flour.
Yes, correct. With the holes in it, yes.
But she on water.
Yes.
Right, okay.
She sailed in there, in the sieve. And she summoned up the storm from there.
Yeah, of course she did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm trying to think who's more nuts here.
I know.
Him or the witches.
But it's also believed that King James's belief about the witch in a sieve reached far and wide, even as far as being referenced in Shakespeare's play Macbeth. Because in Macbeth, the first witch cries, "But in a sieve, I'll thither sail."
Are you talking a different language now? Show us the word.
It's just Scottish, Catherine. Not show us the word.
Show us the word.
Thither.
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 It's like saying scissor with a lisp.
So, but in a sieve, I'll thither sail. Although this could just merely be a coincidence. Might not be about sieve at all. But yeah, it's believed that Shakespeare heard about this sieve, witch in a sieve. Anyway, from that point onwards, King James made it his mission to get rid of these perceived threats the witches posed. And it was this that led to the major Scottish witch trials in 1590, the North Berwick witch trials. According to the Visit Scotland website, North Berwick is a seaside town in East Lothian, boasting great beaches, coastal scenery, and is home to the Scottish Seabird Centre, as well as being just a 30-minute train journey from Edinburgh.
Have they got nice fish and chips there?
They're bound to, it's like by the sea, coast, yeah. It sounds really pleasant, doesn't it? However, back in back in the 1590s, it was anything but pleasant.
I don't suppose they had fish and chips then.
No, I think they had other things on their mind. No. But for the witches, they are conjuring the spells that King James VI thought they were doing. It was anything but pleasant. It's a bit gruesome now. This is what they're going to do to you. You know how you said, oh, I'll be burnt at the stake? Well, you would be so lucky.
But that'd be quick and over with. Uh-huh.
Gaelis Duncan was one of the first targets of these new witch trials. She worked for her employer, David Seaton, who was convinced she conspired to sink King James's royal fleet.
Why did he think that? Did he just pick her? Did he just not like her and yes, didn't want to sack her?
A lot of it is. A lot of it is. You just don't like them. Just
I can't be bothered to send you £45, so I'll just say you're a witch.
Yeah, pretty much.
Job's a good one. No need to do a reference because you're gone.
So what happened to her was detailed in a pamphlet which was commissioned by King James in 1591. The pamphlet detailed that grievous torture was carried out using thumbscrews known as pillywinks to crush her fingers, and that a rope was tied tightly around her neck, which was then winched and twisted, described as a most cruel torment.
Yeah, I think I would say that was the cruel. I'd rather be burned, just for future reference.
Yeah, I don't want pain.
No.
Well, no, want it over with. Because burning, yeah, that might be a bit painful to mind.
I know, but I think that sounds terrible.
Yeah. So judging by these descriptions, it almost seemed like they're trying to be absolved.
Absolved?
Yeah. So this is the booklet that he's done, the pamphlet.
So he's done like a full-on brochure of how he's going to kill the witch.
No, this is what he says. So King James has actually commissioned this pamphlet and saying what he's done.
Oh, as a warning for the other witches.
Yeah, but he's saying that it's thought that the pamphlet's basically him trying to absolve himself of, you know, why you had to carry out these acts.
Oh, so it's like making it okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I had to do it.
He saved the world from the witches, and the saves.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Gaelis Duncan was also stripped and shaved completely, along with being thoroughly examined until the devil's mark was declared to have been found on her throat.
Well, they wouldn't have to shave me.
Well, alright. You know, there's not a porno one.
I know.
Right?
I know.
Agnes Sampson was amongst those named by Gaelis Duncan.
Oh, so she's not only being tortured herself, she's now slinging her mates under the bus.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, well, I was going to say, would you? Yeah.
If I'm going, you're coming with this.
Totally. So, yeah, Agnes Sampson was amongst those named by Gaelis when she was tortured, according to the pamphlet. So Agnes was tortured at the Edinburgh Toll Booth, where she was pinned to the wall and made to
lucky
wear...
Lucky girl.
God, only your mind would go there when we're talking about torture. And made to wear a witch's bridle, which is like an iron muzzle that clamps onto the head, preventing her from speaking. And I've put a photo on the website if anybody would like to have a look.
So it's like the man in the iron mask type thing.
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
So eventually Agnes confessed to causing the various storms, including the storm that King James had encountered in the way back from Denmark.
Why has she done that?
Oh man, you'd say anything, would you not?
No, I wouldn't. I'd say I know nothing.
Both women later were interrogated at Holyrood Palace in Edinburgh, possibly, as some suggest, physically, by King James himself.
I bet.
He was initially sceptical of Agnes's confession, but she seemingly told him details of his wedding night with Anne of Denmark, which then convinced King James of her guilt.
It's not going to be hard, is it? They're going to know that they've had
sex.
So she's going to say, you're a witch.
You're a witch. You're a witch. So during King James's interrogation of Gaelis Duncan, she was forced to confess, claiming that she'd gathered with witches to concoct fanciful spells that brought about the storms that had plagued the royal fleet and the king himself. However, she did retract her confession, but it was too late, and she was and she was executed along with Agnes Sampson, who was found guilty of treachery and devilish deeds, and many others who were falsely implicated. However, in 1597, it was being asked why King James was so determined to carry on his witch hunt, especially as many of the educated elite were starting to question the validity and existence of witchcraft, and even the most zealous ministers were starting to back down too. Not King.
They were all under the spell.
I never thought of that. That was good. Why didn't you think of that?
Yeah, witches are taking over.
When King James the 6th of Scotland finally became King James the 1st of England, you try saying that best. He was surprised to find many sceptical in England of witchcraft, along with fewer judges unwilling to prosecute based on what little evidence was gained from torture.
There's a surprise. Little evidence because there's none.
He did proceed to have the English Witchcraft Act amended in 1604 to make hanging mandatory, but found that the public interest in this was not the same as in Scotland. Scotland are just evil, aren't they? King James had helped encourage witch trials as he considered them important due to his own supposed experience of witchcraft that happened during his reign. But the witch trials were also driven further by the pressures following the Scottish Reformation. Later, King James started to help debunk those accused of witchcraft after becoming more involved in other affairs of state, which actually included another plot against him that we'll go into later.
Another plot?
Another plot.
Another save?
Do you know what it is? No, it's not a save.
Was it a saucepan?
The witch trials that happened during his reign were not the first witch trials to occur in Scotland and England, nor would they be the last. So following the death of King James, many acts continued during the reign of his successor, Charles I, against those accused of seemingly threatening social stability and escalated with the torture, including the use of thumbscrews and iron muzzles, of around 3,000 or 4,000 people, many of whom were executed as witches.
So this is why people say, I'm going to put the thumbscrews on him to try and get information out.
Yeah, it comes from this then. It
comes from that.
Who says that?
Alex says it to me.
Does he?
Put the thumb screws on.
Does he?
Yeah.
Catherine, now you know where it comes from.
I bet he doesn't.
Yeah, I'm a witch. I'm a woman. I think you're a witch.
Well.
I could be right.
I have my spell book in the drawer.
You just come see your spooky lady.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I am the spooky lady.
Where's your soup? Where is it?
I've got a sim and a colander.
Oh god, you're sorted, aren't you? How many storms can you brew with that?
Well, witch is only female.
No. According to the survey of Scottish witchcraft by the University of Edinburgh, from the nearly 4,000 people accused of witchcraft, about 84% were women and 15% were men, with almost a third between the ages of 50 and 60. Many of those people who were tortured and killed as being suspected of witchcraft would provide names and details that they believed those interrogating them wanted to hear. In 1642, Agnes Finney from Edinburgh was known as being a very spiteful person. She was a traitor known for her sharp tongue and foul temper.
Sounds familiar. I wonder if I was Agnes in a former life.
Yes, it's you. Who could get into many arguments with customers and neighbours.
Yes, it's totally you. It is me.
Well, you better watch. Rumours started to spread about her.
There's plenty of rumours going about me.
And she was eventually put on trial for witchcraft, where the spite of those she had maligned manifested in no shortage of people coming forward to testify regarding her malevolence, and she was found guilty of witchcraft and executed on Castle Hill in Edinburgh. So, there you go. You've been warned.
Yeah, but I'm back. It's in the back of me.
So these new witch trials would not be the only turmoil to be dominating the country at the time, as Charles I was fighting the armies of the Scottish and English parliaments in the English Civil War. However, it would be in 1645 when King Charles was finally defeated and surrendered and handed over to the English, who demanded he form a constitutional monarchy, but he refused to do so and managed to escape captivity a couple of years later. So the witch trials continued in 1649 when Patrick Watson blamed his wife for seemingly bringing the devil into their home. However, it would be Patrick himself who would be identified as a witch.
Oh.
By a professional witch pricker.
Witch pricker.
A witch pricker. Mm-hmm. He was called John Kincaid and he would prick.
With what?
A suspected witch. I'll tell you in a minute. You would prick a suspected witch until they found a spot that did not bleed. There you go.
Which is going to be never.
Well, wait, I'll tell you about it in a minute. Witch prickers would use a needle to prick a suspect, as it was believed that those accused of witchcraft would not bleed. But it was hollow handles and retractable needles that were used to produce the desired effect. So if you don't bleed, you're a witch. And you're not going to bleed because they pulled the needle back.
But you might. I would be squeezing my arm to make sure some came out. I feel like that.
there's a wee drop! But anyway, so Patrick Watson, had tried to blame his wife, saying that she was the devil, but actually, you know, the needle trick.
Oh, the pricker.
The witch pricker was used on him, and this identified that he didn't bleed when, the, you know, the stab didn't stab him. So he was strangled and burned. So that backfired on him a wee bit, didn't it? Many of those accused were women, including spinsters and widows, with no means of support or were unable to defend themselves, but were often known for providing herbal remedies or healing. So they were just going about their business quite happy, trying to help people. You know, everybody's got these old remedies, haven't they?
That,
for that.
Like, I mean, in this day and age, there would be a GP.
However, that same year, another trial happened. This time it was for Charles I, who was being accused of high treason due to his actions that resulted in the English Civil War. And he was convicted and executed. So he might have escaped.
His body's getting killed all over the place.
The body count's gone up. So he did escape, but actually he was found and convicted and murdered.
I mean,
anyway.
To be fair, where would you go and run and hide? In the safe, floating over the sea.
In a safe place.
I'm here.
So this resulted in the abolishment of the monarchy, and a republic was established, led by Oliver Cromwell.
Ah.
Although this only lasted a little more than a decade, when Cromwell died and his son was not strong enough to lead the country, which resulted in a coup and the return of the monarchy under Charles's son, Charles II. Cromwell's corpse was then dug up, hung up,
to dry,
and beheaded.
Despite, someone heard him after, isn't
it? I know, despite him already being dead. Yeah, I know what we'll do. Dig him up, hang him up, and behead him, because that'll really show him.
For tea.
In 1679, when charges of witchcraft were becoming more infrequent, along with an increasing scepticism regarding witchcraft in Scotland, one of the final multiple trials for witchcraft took place in Bowness, which is about 16 miles northwest of Edinburgh. Those accused were Annabel Thompson, Margaret Pringle, Bessie Vicar, and William Craw, and two women by the same name, Margaret Hamilton. Although those being accused had very little charged against them, it was said that they had indulged in intercourse with the devil, and that on several occasions, the five women and one man had been drinking large quantities of ale in the devil's company. But it seems those charges were mostly about drunken and lustful behaviour.
Drunk and disorderly.
Can you imagine nowadays,
and
Alex?
And taking someone back with theirs. Yeah.
You on a Saturday night.
Oh, good, Roger.
Despite this, all six were found guilty.
All six or sex?
All of the six having sex were found guilty.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a snake trauma. Snarman.
You and your
Charming the
trauma.
Snake.
So despite this, all six were found guilty. They were led to the west of Bowness and were strangled at the stake and were burnt to ashes. Janet Horne was the last person to be tried and executed of being a witch in Scotland in 1727. Janet was tarred, put into a barrel, then it was burnt. It would be 7 years later, in 1735, when a new Witchcraft Act was passed, which although still made it a crime for a person to claim to be a witch or practice witchcraft.
Why would you claim to be a witch knowing what death you were going to get?
Well, this is what it changed. It abolished the hunting and execution of witches in Great Britain with a maximum penalty of a year's imprisonment. So you wouldn't be bothered. You'd be like, eh.
Yeah, especially if you were poor, because then you'd get fed in that
prison. Yeah, totally.
Telly, Xbox.
I don't...
Jobs are good.
This act also repealed the Scottish Witchcraft Act of 1653 and the English Witchcraft Act of 1604. And this new act actually remained in force for over two centuries.
You know what, when you think about it, this wasn't that long ago.
No, it's not. Because this, wait, you're going to like this.
Oh.
Well, as this act was only repealed when the Fraudulent Medium Act was passed in 1951.
Mine's not a fraudulent one.
Which prohibited anyone from receiving or making money by claiming to be a psychic, medium, or spiritualist.
Oh.
Something else you've learnt. That was 1951.
The amount of money I've paid out on spiritualists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do say that if you've got the gift, that you should do it for free and not be charging for it. Yeah. I wonder if that's why, because of this act.
1951. Well, it was this act itself was repealed in 2008 when it was replaced by more modern and general purpose consumer protection legislation targeting unfair sales and marketing practices. So it's gone from, you're a witch, you're getting tortured to death, and you're dying. You're a witch and, up to a year in prison. You know, a witch nowadays is just like, you're fine.
Bring her around, we'll have a house party for six people. Yeah.
So today it's hard to imagine all those thousands of innocent women and men who were accused, charged and executed for their supposed crimes, but who were most likely not harming anyone, but instead became the target of increasing paranoia, religious intolerance or political unrest that was happening in Great Britain at the time. There are also many places in Scotland that still remain as reminders of what happened back then or are unbuilt upon. Although we tend to think of witches as just another part of Halloween. It is hard to imagine that anyone behaving that way just a few centuries earlier would have been charged and executed for doing little more than what we do today. What did you do for Halloween, Catherine?
Well, we used to get a turnip from the local grocers and it used to take about 3 days to dig it out. And then cut a little face in it, put a candle in it, piece of string round, and they used to carry that out with you. But then if it was raining, you'd have to like keep going back to the house to get your mum to relight it.
Oh my God.
And then I just had a bin liner with two arms cut out and put over my head because that was the cape. She just used to cut two arms in the flat bin liner and you'd like put it over my head and put my arms through.
You were poor.
That was it. There's your outfit. Get out of the door, go and get some money.
I didn't want the money, I just wanted the treats.
And a little plastic witch's hat. Don't. No, I wanted the money.
Did you?
Yeah.
No. But I didn't have a bin bag, I had a cracking outfit. A witch outfit as well.
Are you wearing it today? I wonder why we went round with a turnip then instead of a sieve at Halloween.
See, I never did that.
Did you not go trick-or-treating?
Oh, I went trick-or-treating, but not with a turnip.
Well, so what did you carry?
I didn't carry anything.
No, you go trick-or-treat. You have your lantern.
No.
You knock on the door and you go trick-or-treat, and then they give you sweets.
No, we didn't. We had to. We got dressed up, but we had to go into their house and do stuff. We had to tell them.
Like what? You want a trick or a treat?
Trust you! No, we had to like go duking for apples.
Uh-huh.
We did that. We had to go in and tell them jokes.
So did you not have a pumpkin?
No, didn't have a pumpkin and didn't have a turnip.
But sometimes people just used to cut out like an apple or something if they were really poor.
Oh, no, we didn't do anything like that.
In America, they go totally all out, don't they, for Halloween? So they have like pumpkins everywhere. They have all those scary things in the garden. You would literally piss your pants, wouldn't you, if you lived over there?
Yeah. They do it for a whole month, I think. Yeah. It's amazing. Really, really good. You don't get that much here.
And the fancy dress and that isn't. Well, I don't answer the door for the people coming here, so that's probably why.
No, I don't either. But people don't want what we wanted. Like we had, it was just like sweeties or apples, you know, these kind of things.
People want money.
Uh-huh. It's just not the same.
Nah, it's not.
It's just like, they just stand there. We had to tell like a poem or a joke or something. You know, we had to work for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't anymore. You just
knock on the door.
Mm-hmm.
And like older kids do it now.
Yeah, they just want
buy
money.
Some tabs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not the same. Not over here, but yeah, Americans.
Yeah, they do everything, don't they? Fab.
Mm-hmm. So much better. So in Scotland and the rest of Great Britain, it isn't just Halloween that is marked around this time of year, but we also mark something else just a few days later. So remember I mentioned about a plot King James was involved with?
Who was then King James of England?
He was King James of England. The first.
First.
Yes, that one. Well, back in 1605, there was a plot by some English Catholics led by Robert Catesby to blow up the Houses of Parliament, assassinate the Protestant King James during the state opening of Parliament, and replace him with his daughter to become a new Catholic head of state.
Just as you do, nice and simple.
I know. So Catesby was joined by fellow plotters, including Guy Fawkes, and they actually succeeded in smuggling in 36 barrels of gunpowder under the Houses of Lords, where King James would be for the state opening of Parliament on November the 5th. However, the plot was uncovered when someone tipped off one of those due to attend Parliament, and this resulted in a search where Guy Fawkes was discovered guarding the barrels of gunpowder. He was later tortured, put on trial and executed, where he was drawn, hanged and quartered.
So that's where hung, drawn and quartered comes from.
And the remains of his body were sent to the four corners of the country as a warning to other potential traitors.
Were sent to the four corners of the country, so do you think like...
So they gave a wee
bit, like,
quartered them up.
Yeah.
You have the leg, you have the arm.
How did they transport that then?
The bloody sieve.
Can you imagine all guy travelling across the country with a horse and a leg hanging off it?
On the 5th of November 1605, people were encouraged to celebrate the failure of the attempt on King James's life by lighting bonfires. Although the plot was unsuccessful in destroying the Houses of Parliament, the building you see today is not actually the one that Guy Fawkes and his fellow conspirators failed to destroy. As in 1834, the practice of accounting using tally sticks, which is a small piece of wood with notches split between the two parties to keep track of who owed what, had come to an end and were being disposed of in furnaces under the House of Lords. However, this caused a fire in the chimney that ran under the House of Lords, which then spread throughout the building, burning for most of the night. Who would have thought that bits of wood would burn?
I know, never. I would say they're the least flammable thing in the world.
Most of the building was destroyed, with only the Westminster Hall and some other parts surviving, which were integrated into the Houses of Parliament we know today, which was built from 1840 and finally finished 30 years later. It is quite ironic that the failure of what became known as the gunpowder plot is marked by lighting bonfires, and it was a fire that spelled the end of the buildings that were the target of the plot.
So ironic.
He tried to burn down the building.
Guy Fawkes.
Aye, but he was caught, and then now we set fire, bonfires in... celebration of him being murdered and set on fire.
So that's how we chuck the Guy Fawkes on top of the bonfire.
Yeah.
Forty years old and just realised that now.
So we're celebrating him being murdered and drawn and quartered and sent to different parts of the country every 5th of November. And fireworks go off as well. We have a lovely time.
Just goes out with a bang.
But the irony is that after he gets burned every... year on the 5th of November after trying to burn the Houses of the Parliament, but actually the Houses of Parliament went up in a big fire.
So it went up anyway.
Aye, it went up anyway. They did it themselves by burning sticks and thinking.
Thinking about what?
Thinking that it would be all right. A big pile of tally sticks. So, okay. The tradition of lighting bonfires each year continues to this day, along with people burning effigies of Guy Fawkes in Scotland, as well as the rest of Great Britain. It is also when, other than on New Year's Eve, many people choose to let off fireworks on what is now known as Guy Fawkes Night, or Bonfire Night. Also, probably most people know of Guy Fawkes from the film V for Vendetta these days. It seems really strange now to think when dressing up and enjoying going trick-or-treating for Halloween on October the 31st or setting off fireworks and lighting bonfires for the 5th of November, what the meaning and story behind those really is.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely looking at Halloween in a different light now. I never knew that.
Did you know? No. Well, I knew and I still enjoyed it.
I don't actually know where I thought it came from. Why is Halloween on the 31st of October? Is there any particular reason?
Well, it comes from the Celtic festival, Samhain.
I've not heard of that before.
It's celebrated because they believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to the earth.
Right, so it's like a closure at the end of the month.
Yes.
Getting rid of all the spirits and the witches and stuff. Clearing out all the spirits.
Yeah, starting again.
Yeah, starting afresh from the 1st of November.
So that'll be why we all get dressed up and everything, because
we're fending off evil.
Aye. It is good to know that many of those people caught up in those times will never be forgotten and are still remembered in some way today. Even though we may not know many of their names, their stories will live on. And that's the end. If you've enjoyed this episode and know just the person who'd also like it, please share it with them. Don't keep it to yourself. Please also get in touch on social media if you have any questions, comments or suggestions, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. All social media and contact details can be found on our website, scottishmurders.com, as well as all source material and photos related to this episode. So that's it for this week. Come back next time for another episode of Scottish
Murders.
Bye!
Scottish Murders is a production of Clurentorn.